Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are thankful for his love for us and how he wants us to follow him and obey him. The last few weeks I've been thinking about the subject of the mind a little bit and who controls my mind and the influences on my mind. And then this past week I got a very strange telephone call that clinched some thoughts in my mind about the mind. And how Satan can tempt people so subtly. And I'll share with you later on about that telephone call. We sing the song sometimes, in the warfare that is raging for the truth and for the right, where the conflict fierce is raging with the powers of the night, God needs people brave and true. May he then depend on you. And that all begins in the mind and where we put our minds, where we put our thoughts as to how the Lord is going to give us victory in the warfare that is raging with Satan. You know, there's a lot of teaching about Christian warfare, and I believe the Bible does teach about Christian warfare. A lot of people emphasize the importance of making sure that we rid ourselves of demons, demon influences, but we do need to be very careful that we don't emphasize we are fighting the devil and we are going to defeat him, or make it personally, I am fighting the devil and I am going to have victory over the devil. None of us are any match for the devil. We need to take it to the Lord, and he's the only one that can give us victory over Satan. Some years ago back in Virginia, we were having tent meetings, and one night the evangelist was talking about Satan, and I guess it was the first night of the meetings, and he made this comment. He referred to the children's song about Satan, and he said, "We're going to defeat the devil this week." He says, "We're going to lock him in a box, and we're going to throw away the key." Now, if you read the children's song carefully, it doesn't say we're going to do that. It says, if we could, we would do it. But I always did have a little bit of a difficulty singing that children's song. I thought it sounds a little bit too much like, you know, we're going to do Satan in. But anyway, it bothered me a lot. But, you know, I should have said something to him, but I didn't. But then apparently other people did. And then the next night, he preached a very powerful sermon. And then he gave an invitation, and everybody who was to respond was supposed to walk down in front of the pulpit, and he walked down in front of the pulpit. He was the first one. And then somebody had apparently challenged him, and the Word of God had challenged him, and he said, Satan was controlling my mind and making me think that I could get the victory over Satan when it's the Lord Jesus Christ that brings victory over Satan. And he said, I want to ask your forgiveness, and I want to ask God's forgiveness for having been so presumptuous. And I think about that every once in a while when I think about the conflict that goes on with the mind. You know, the Bible says a lot about the mind, the control of the mind, and what our minds should be like. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Maybe this particular passage should be the last one that I read instead of the first one, kind of a summary. And yet I think it gives us the focus on Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Now notice the use of the word mind here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Especially focusing on having the mind of Jesus Christ. And then before that, it says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And the context is actually talking about our relationship with others and having right attitudes and a right spirit toward others. And it says, have the mind of Christ. And we certainly need the mind of Christ in our relationships, and we need the mind of Christ in dealing with sin in our lives, and dealing with the temptations that Satan puts before us. Now go over to Philippians chapter 4. And again, notice the implications regarding the mind. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There's the mind again. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so it's important what we think and how we think and what we allow to influence our thinking. But then it goes on to say the Christian life goes beyond just thinking or just the mind, and it eventually goes into action. The things that we have learned and received and heard in me do, he said, and the God of peace will be with you. What's in our minds will come out. Our minds will be reflected in our lives and in our actions. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. And this is talking about the Christian warfare and what the Christian's weapons are. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, we can't defeat Satan ourselves in our own flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's going to be the solution to dealing with Satan's attacks on our minds, to bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. Someone that I was reading one time on the subject of Christian warfare had this comment, and I think he was on target. He said, many of us are so interested in fighting the external war with the devil that we forget that much of our battle is not with external forces, but within our own minds and thoughts. The mind is the area where most Christians suffer constant defeat. Do most Christians suffer constant defeat in their minds? Certainly, that's not the Lord's will for us, to suffer constant defeat. And then we go to Ephesians 6, of course, which talks about the Christian armor and the weapons of our warfare and what weapons we have through Jesus Christ to defeat the enemy. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, it does say that we need to do something. We need to put on the armor of God, but it is the armor of God, not our own strength. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And again, the mind is involved in this. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Satan comes in such subtle ways to deceive us. Now, this past week, I received a strange telephone call. And I would preface it by saying it would be helpful if you have a telephone, either a landline or a cell phone, make sure that you are on the U.S. and Missouri no-call list. And if you want to know how to get on, it's simple, and I have the telephone numbers for both of them, and I will be glad to give them to you. And that helps to prevent telemarketers from calling you, people who have things to sell and people who try to convince you of things. However, there are a lot of people that are calling, and they get around that. They don't have anything to sell exactly. And so they have other subtle things that they do, and that's what this telephone call was. A man introduced himself as representing a certain one of these collection agencies, and he said, "Now you took out in August 1999, you took out a credit card with Lowe's," and he said, "You still owe on that card, and I'm representing," and he named actually a collection agency, and he said, "I'm calling you about that," and I said, "Well, we never had a Lowe's credit card in our lives. We've never taken out a Lowe's credit card." He says, "Do you live at?" And then he gave an address. It was just a street number, the name of the street. And I said, "Well, I don't even know where that street is. I never heard of that street, and I don't have a card like that." And he said, "Oh, sir." He said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "We'll take you off of our calling list." He said, "All we need to take you off of our calling list is the last two digits of your Social Security number." And I said, "Absolutely not." I said, "That's personal, private information. The last two digits of my Social Security number, I will not give that to you." And he said, "But it's only the last two numbers. It's not the whole number." And I said, "Absolutely not, I will not." And I hung up. You know, Satan usually doesn't come to us and ask for the whole deal and ask for everything. He just wants a little bit. The last two digits is all that Satan wants. And those last two digits, would he given him just an itsy-bitsy piece of information about me? And he could have probably maybe even found out some more. I don't know. But we need to be very careful about things like that. Not long ago, we got an email from a credit card company that we actually have a credit card with. And it had the company's logo at the top of this. And it said something about that you owe a certain amount on this credit card and it's overdue and so on. And you click on something and then you would go online and you can take care of this problem that you have with the credit card company. And immediately I was suspicious. And so we called the credit card company, and they said, "That email is false, it's a hoax, it is not from us, and you don't owe us anything, you have no outstanding balance on that card." And the devil is so subtle, and everything, it makes things look so good, and it looks so real. And you know, we need to be careful in those areas relating to telephone calls and things that we get. And also we need to be careful in our relationship with the ungodly world around us. Satan deceives in similar ways. He just wants us to do a little compromising. Just get his foot a little bit in the door. We need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God and be obedient to the Word of God. And the Word of God will contradict the arguments of this world and the flesh and the devil, and the strongholds that Satan can gain on a person's life when they yield to him, those strongholds can become tumbling down only as we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus and immerse ourselves in his word. In 1 Peter 4:1, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." And I want that to be my goal in life, not to live after the lusts of the flesh, the subtle enticements of Satan, but live to the will of God. Let's kneel together in prayer.